The preacher's dilemma is with scriptures like today, where to focus, because there is so much richness in all of those, in the scriptures that Foo just read for us, so much that would need to be unpacked. And so settle in, I'll be here for about 2 hours. I've got a whole lot to say, not to worry. No, what I really wanted to do is focus primarily on the soaring words from Isaiah chapter 11, words that every time that I hear them, they just give me pause and make me stop a minute and think of the beauty and the glory and the vision of what is created there. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion will feed together. The cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together, and a lion will eat straw like an ox, and a little child shall lead them. They won't harm or destroy anywhere on my holy mountain. The earth will surely be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, just as the waters covers the sea. Powerful, wonderful vision. And yet what I really love about Isaiah 11 is that powerful, wonderful vision of this universal shalom that will sweep the entire world begins with a tiny little shoot, a tiny little plant, a tiny little tender shoot. For 15 of us yesterday that were at Gunstock Ranch, or about 15 of us from Crossroads Ranch, from Church of the Crossroads, in which we joined about 1,000 other volunteers out in Kahuku at Gunstock Ranch, and we attempted to plant close to 10,000 trees in just a few hours, we understand exactly just how fragile a tender shoot can be. Given these tiny little shoots that were given to us in these wonderful packages, of which they had been gone from seedlings into something about this high, we carried them as if it was the holy child itself to the holes that had been dug for us already, put them tenderly into those holes, gently packed mud around each one of those shoots, dropped in pellets of nutrients, put a little bit more mud in, added some water, put a weed cloth over the top of it, and said prayers. I looked around at all of the folks at Crossroads that were doing it, and I could see that with each plant, as it was finally put into the ground and sort of given the chance to now begin to rise and to grow, there were prayers that were being said. There were songs that were being sung. Mimi was doing healing touch on every plant as it went into the ground. It was the most glorious and wonderful thing. And then you look around and you realize it's just 30 or so plants that we planted, and there were 9,970 other plants all around us that were not in the ground just 2 hours before. It is the hopes of a planet devastated by our carbon consumption are built by small acts like this. Now, of course, the cynics amongst us might very well look at all of this and might well ask, so what is one tree that you planted? What is the value of maybe the 30 that we planted? What about the 10,000? Dr. Camilo Mora, who was the person that was organizing this, has a vision that next year we'll be planting 1 million trees. What's the value of 1 million trees? What struck me is that there were 10,000 trees being planted in an area that maybe was like 10, 12 acres or so, maybe that big. And I looked around at all the mountain space that was there, and I realized just how many millions of trees need to be planted to truly make a difference. So what does one tree, what does 130 trees, 10,000, million, what difference does that make? It is not an unfair question to ask. The issues of a climate that is out of control can be overwhelming and can frankly lead us to a sense of despair and to helplessness. This is so true in many of the settings of our lives as well. It's not just in a climate that is out of control. This has been for me an eye-opening week as the realities of the limits of our existing health care and elder care system have come face to face and full front to me in this week. You know, when we stand and we offer our prayers to one another and someone says, here's a prayer I would like us to pray, and we say, God, hear our prayers. What I have come to recognize is when someone stands up and offers a prayer, we are merely seeing the tip of the iceberg. And underneath the water, there is this huge, massive iceberg of care and need and concern and worry that oftentimes comes with those prayers. Well, this week, some of those prayers of our community that were lifted up on Sunday, we came face to face with the fact that our healthcare system and our elder care system was not there for them. We had our own members of the congregation that were being sent to emergency rooms when they shouldn't have been sent to emergency rooms, being denied emergency rooms when they should have been going to emergency rooms, being sent home when they should have been made to stay, being kept when they should have been sent home, being left alone for hour upon hour, not being informed of what needed to be done, insurance companies not doing what they are supposed to be doing. It was devastating and despairing and hard to watch this happening to the members of our community and the folks that we love so dearly. And what was so clear that the determining factor really was not the need of the patients, but whether or not they had enough money, whether they were going to get enough care. That the intended beneficiary was not the patients that we were dealing with, but really the insurance companies or the pharmaceutical companies or the likes thereof. Our health care system, our elder care system can be like a scarred landscape. And it is our friends, our family members, our community members whose lives are devastated by its very failures. And I really believe that this is exactly what Isaiah is speaking to when he gives us those glorious words that we read at this time of the year in Isaiah 11, because that wonderful little shoot in which the hope of the whole world rests is growing out of a stump. And why is that wonderful little shoot growing out of a stump? Well, if we read Isaiah 10, it's because the forest that is the people of Israel has been flattened, has been burned, has been cut down, has been reduced to the rubble of stumps. That stump is there because of that slash and burn that has taken place for those people. John the Baptist will speak of the very same kind of slash and burn in the words that Fu read for us earlier, that the day is coming where fire of destruction is going to come to the people. And we think that it's a fire of destruction that is going to come and destroy everything, but what we actually begin to understand as the story unfolds is that destruction is really an unveiling, a firing off, a burning off of all that prevents us from being that which God has called us to be. For the people of Israel, victims of Egypt, of Babylon, of Assyria, of Greece, of Rome, the image of being a stump cut down might be very apropos. They had been kicked in the teeth time and time again, pounded time and again, and wrapped up in a system like our health care and elder care system that really seems to have no intent to really serve their needs. And yet, in the midst of all of that, Isaiah has the audacity to say that stump, as we know, is often the best growing ground for a shoot. That the very nutrients that once created the fabric of life for a magnificent tree are going to be now the milk of new life for that shoot. And from that stump, that shoot that comes out from it, that shoot will grow and the shoot will be greater than anything that the stump ever would be. From that shoot, of the stump that it grows out of, will embody the hope and the possibility of a world of shalom. A world where those who are traditionally opposed to one another now lie down and work with one another. A world where the knowledge of God is as prevalent as the seas that cover the world. And grand as that vision is, this vision of universal shalom, it is also a vision for our individual lives. Lives that are a life-transforming of aloha, of hope that refuses to take a knee to the powers that be. And I have watched that reality come to full life this week, that just as our church members have been coming up front against a system that is not working for them, we had our other church members standing there in the midst of the storm for them. Congregation members stepped forward and interceded with the medical and medical care system, the elder care system, to make sure that the members of our church were not being discarded, were not being discontinued. Their care was not being discontinued. There were people that were haggling with insurance companies, that were haggling with care providers in behalf of the folks of our church. There were those who brought meals, those who sat with them, those who visited, those who bathed them, those who fielded phone calls, those who recruited others, those who offered experience, those who offered prayers, those who changed the schedules of their week to accommodate the needs of their own. It has been an inspiring and joyful week to be a part of in the midst of the difficulties that were there. We are not by any means out of the woods yet for our church members who are still struggling. Insurance companies are still fairly intractable. Medical personnel seem to be having a hard time figuring out what the right hand is saying to the left hand. And yet I am utterly hopeful because the members of our church still need to advocate, will stand there and will advocate and will stand in for those who cannot. The shoot of possibility will need to be nurtured no matter what. 10,000 trees that were planted yesterday are going to need sun and water and care and weeding before they become a forest. And just as Isaiah's vision continues to need the participation of generation after generation of believers, so it is in our everyday life with one another. That if we are going to be the very hope that grows out of the stump of destruction, out of the stump of a world that is not working so well, if we are going to be that, we need to be constant. We need to be constant in our love, constant in our advocacy, constant in our hope for a world that is better. There is no question that the world is going to challenge us every single day. The forests of our lives, literally and figuratively, are going to be burned and slashed. They're going to threaten us and our loved ones. Yet has been proven time and time again, it is in the midst of those challenges where the very best of who we are waits to emerge. In that we truly hope. Isaiah hoped in that truth. That's why he wrote those words that we have in Isaiah 11. John the Baptist hoped in that truth. That's why he proclaimed there on the shores of the River Jordan, on the banks of the River Jordan, proclaimed the truth of the coming that was going to happen that would make us all eventually be able to be all that God had called us to be as individuals and as community. And 30 years before John the Baptist is railing there on the shores of the banks of the River Jordan, there was an unwed Palestinian refugee couple struggling to survive in the harrowing days of the Pax Romana. And they too held on to such hope as well. May we, as we enter into this season, be those people of hope that will hold on to that reality. We as a congregation have done this time and time again. We have struggled to be a congregation that breathes hope into a world that wants to allow itself to delve into despair and hopelessness. Just today in our adult ed, I asked the question of some of the folks that were slightly older than myself, and I said, you've been through this before, 50 years ago during the time of the Vietnam War, and now we see ourselves entering into times of despair and helplessness as well. What do you do? How do you hold on? And one very, very eloquently said, I crave every place where I can find hope, and I strive to be a part of that. I strive to be a part of that hope because in that hope, in that moment, there is opportunity and there is possibility. Another said, I look to the young people of the world who day in and day out are changing the world, and in that I have hope. I look to the work of the members of this church and the ways in which they care for one another, not only those who are parts of our community, of our church community, but of the broader community. And in that I have hope. And so it was that just about a year ago, we gathered together the great minds of the people of the Church of the Crossroads, and we looked at all the words that we have said over the years about who we are and how do we define ourselves, and we began to rewrite the covenants that have defined us in many ways. And we came up with a new covenant that sort of was an umbrella of the hope that is found in being an open and affirming church, a just peace church, a church that is green, that cares for all of God's creation, a church that is welcoming of many folks. In the hope that is found in just those very things, we tried to put words to it. And in that, we created this covenant litany that you will find in your bulletin. I'm going to ask you to join with me in the sharing of that in just a minute. As I ask you to share with that, I'm going to ask Fu, and I'm going to ask Leslie, and I'm going to ask Kyoko, who are joining the church, to come and stand here and be embarrassed while everyone can look at them and stare at them while we do this covenant litany together. I want us to see these wonderful people that have made the decision to join this church. I want us to see the hope that is embodied in their very presence, in the stories of their lives and what has brought them to this place, to say, in this community of faith, in this outpost of love, we choose to be a part of. And so together, let us join. I'm Fu and Leslie and Kyoko. Can you come and stand up over here? Bring your sponsors with you as well, just so that they too can be embarrassed for us to look at them. So where is Christy? Christy, where are you? Christy, come on up, standing with Fu. And Mimi, will you go and stand there with Kyoko? And can we join together in reading this litany of our covenant together? We strive as a community to share. We aspire to follow. We affirm the many pathways to the divine. We welcome all persons, including those who differ in age, gender, social, economic, and ethnic background, sexual orientation, gender identity, and physical or mental ability. We are a just peace church. We are all members of God's family. We honor the indigenous host culture of Hawaii and their place in which we live. And so it is into that covenant that these three wonderful people have chosen to become a part of. And as we have been doing of late, we don't let them get off the hook by just standing there and looking wonderful. We want to hear from them as well. And I've asked them a series of questions that they can think about answering. And I said, you know, give it 1 to 2, 2 to 3 minutes to share with us so that we all can hear some of their journey, which has brought us to this moment together. So I'm just going to start from the left and move this way. So Kyoko, if that's all right, I'm going to start with you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kyoko Hamamoto. I'm so grateful to become a member of the Crossroad. Let me briefly talking about my background. I was born and raised in Japan, in Hiroshima, and I live in Kyoto for a long time. I moved to Hawaii and 3 years ago with my wonderful Japanese husband in the over there, Nori, and invited by Mimi and next to me. And she is the mutual friend between Martha Menzendik and I. Martha and I have been working in a local church of UCC Japan at the Kyoto over decades. Interesting enough, before I came to Hawaii, I knew Crossroads from Martha and the wonderful ministry here. So when I joined the service for the first time, I was so easy to find myself to be a part of the community here. Part of my work, part of my life, I am passionate about chaplaincy, and I'm so grateful to be engaged in the field for 20 years in Japan and in the United States. I'm also ordained of UCC Japan, and I'm still the member of the church at the Kyoto, where the Martha is also joining in. After my 3 years spiritual journey to God, searching for my future purpose, I decided to officially become a member of the Crossroads, to continue to be faithful to my calling of the chaplain, and hoping to stay longer and to serve the people living, working with the people in community of Hawaii. Powerfully enough, after I decided to become a member of this church and then shared my interest with Kafu David, I was amazed myself because I felt so happy and so feeling so settled. So I realized that how much I have been so longing the kind of a spiritual ohana that I can fully commit myself and also find myself beloved and always. So I'm convinced I made a very right and a very best decision here today. I love the diversity of the community of the Crossroads, so I'm excited. I, as a member of the Crossroads, to become a part of the openness and the welcoming, the culturally diverse and population that the Crossroads Ohana has nurtured in its history. I'm also excited to become a part of the humbleness and the curiosity that the Crossroads has cultivated in the ministry, which recognizes each person as a minister and encourage to learn from each person. Thank you. I use in three more minutes. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Thank you, Kyoko. Would you, Pastor Leslie?
Hi, my name is Leslie Lanui, and I've been attending, I started about Christmas last year. I missed the devotional aspect of the holiday, but a little about myself, I'm a farmer's daughter from a small town in Butler County, Kansas. I grew up attending United Church of Christ, a church there called the Federated Church, and went to school in Iowa for college, in Arizona. When I was in Arizona, I met a man, Douglas Lanui, who's originally from Maui, and he's my husband now. We moved to Honolulu about 5 years ago, and I've been working at the Board of Water Supply.
Mm-hmm. She's taking care of our forests.
Do what we can. As for why I'm joining the Crossroads here and now, a lot of reasons. It's a UCC church, so it's kind of natural to come here. After my son was born, I started bringing him to a daycare over on Bingham Street, and I'd walk by and I'd see the lovely church grounds and the grand trees, and it just seemed so lovely. I thought, I'll bet that I'm welcome. And oh boy, have I ever felt welcome when I started coming here. As I'm thinking about little Joseph, who's 18 months old, I wanted him to grow up knowing what Christian fellowship is. And so thank you for welcoming him as well when he got baptized here recently. And as for myself, Christian fellowship means so much. I can't list all the reasons, but if I were to give one short reason why I'm here now becoming a member, it's because I feel like this is my home now. And so thank you. I think the third question was any interests. My husband got me interested in the Merry Monarch Festival.
Yeah.
And I love watching it every year. I'd love to see it in person sometime. So that's kind of a dream of mine.
Nice. Beautiful.
But I'm happy today. Thank you all for making me feel so welcome.
Thank you, Leslie. Mm-hmm. Fu?
Morning, everyone. My name is Fu Pham. I am originally from Texas. I was born and raised there, and eventually, I would say, grew up in the Church of Christ, starting at about 8 years old. I eventually became a follower of Christ at age 13. I got baptized, and that served as the foundation for my faith, just being in the church, learning the teachings of Jesus, and eventually life would bring me around to different places throughout the country, and I would have to rejoin the small C church, congregations, but always with the understanding that I belong to the big C church. So the long story short is the reason why I came to Church of the Crossroads is because of the open and affirming position. Because here I am, someone who accepted Christ and over many congregations accepted the people in the congregations when they didn't accept me.
Sorry, Fu, didn't mean to put you on the spot, but you've been really good about sharing your journey, and I love it.
So eventually, you know, the starting point was here, where there's a congregation that accepts me. So that was really why I started here. It was about a year ago. My work was asking if I would consider relocating to Hawaii, and they brought me out here. And I knew that while I was taking a week-long work trip, that I needed to find a church, see a church, a congregation of people. And that was the reason why I moved, was my visit here. I would say the funny reason, because it was also Advent, and I found the congregation to be really charming and quirky. quirky in that the postlude was Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, so thanks, Angie. So I was so excited. I was texting my friends after, like, oh my God, this is so great. This is wonderful. The Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy. So needless to say, that was the starting point, and maybe that's why I returned. But the other thing is that our faith is not just about us. It's not all about me. So while I am here because of circumstances that are about me, why I stayed, why I want to be here, why I want to be a part of this congregation is because of what this congregation stands for outside of us, mm-hmm. How we share our faith, how we advocate for others, how we are a community to those who are around us, how we serve, because that is more important than us. How we share our faith with others is what's most important, and that's what I see here at Church of the Crossroads, and that's why I made the decision to become a member, because that's what I see, and it's not about me, it's about us, and it's about those that we serve. So mahalo.